Well, this morning I want to speak about God's provision. God's provision, or God will provide. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And who knows, it may go on for a few weeks. We just don't know how the Holy Spirit leads when we get up and we teach you. But God will provide. Now, why am I raising this question this morning? Because God, in His mercy, must provide if He is to keep a remnant. If a remnant is to be preserved and to be kept, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, to have a revelation of God, God has to provide in order for that revelation, for that remnant, a people, to be preserved and to be kept. And the moment that Adam and Eve fell, God had to provide. And first, before that provision, pardon, forgiveness had to be the first thing in God's heart. The moment that they fell, the first thing that had to be in the Father's heart was forgiveness, pardon, a covering. And so, because that was in God's heart, even though the consequences of disobeying God escalated through the world like a pyramid effect, like a domino effect, I should say, yet provision, pardon, was there. And God, of course, was indeed the first to slay that which He had created and made, an animal in which skin was to be provided to cover their nakedness. And so God provided. God chose out of that which He had created something earthly in which to provide, to cover. And that covering was skins over their nakedness. And so God works on that same principle right up today, this hour, this moment, where we sit in our seat. God provides. And all through the patriarchs, to the calling of the nation Israel, the 400 years after Israel's rebellion, where no prophet, teacher was speaking, then the coming Messiah, then the coming of the Holy Spirit, is all God's provision. Providing, protecting a remnant for His glory, for His handiwork. Now turn me, if you will, to Genesis, the book of Genesis. And we're going to look in chapter 22 of Genesis. And we're going to expound on verses 1 through to 19. We're going to open up on this. And we're calling this this morning, as I've opened up with, God's provision, or God will provide. God's provision. Genesis 22, verses 1 to 19. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham, and He said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then He said, Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, and he saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood from the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. And so Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham turned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Bathsheba. Abraham dwelt at Bathsheba. Wonderful story there. God's provision. God provided. This is such a profound story that we have illustrations of this right through the Bible. And I want us to look at other illustrations of faithful Abraham. Abraham's faith. His faith of obedience. Turn with me now, if you will, to James, the book of James. The book of James. James chapter 2, verses 20 to 24. James chapter 2, verses 20 to 24. "But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.' You see then that a man is justified by works, not by faith only." Now, the key to all faith, the faith that Abraham had, is shown here and how it was in operation. It says back again, if we just want to look at this, what we've just read, verse 20, "But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" There's the key. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? Hey, hang on a minute. Works doesn't save you. That's what we've heard. That's what we've been taught. You're not saved by works. You're saved by faith. But faith must correspond with works. And works must correspond with faith. So works are acceptable before God, but they are works of faith. And there's the difference. And it goes on to explain this. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? There's the key to it, verse 22. Do you see that faith was working together with works? Faith, works, work together. If it's just works, it hasn't faith. If it is faith without works, it isn't faith. Faith, works, works together. That's the key to it. And so that is how we know if it's faith and if it's works. Because you can't separate the two. Faith will produce works. Works reveal its faith. The two are together united. And that is how it works. And that is why we miss it. And that is where the realm of unbelief works. And this is where Satan will work. You say you have faith, but your works don't correspond it. Now again, I was tested this morning on what I'm going to preach today. I don't have to tell you that the heavens have opened this morning. Floods everywhere. And we're going through a trial at home. We've not only got leakage badly in a conservatory that we had built just over 2 years ago, that I'm waiting to get repaired, but we're also getting floods down our driveway going through into the garage. And I'm waiting on the Lord to get the right person to do the job. And we had, again, a flood yesterday, and looked as though it was going to flood again this morning. Rain coming into the conservatory, which could mess up the flooring. And we're about ready to go to the meeting. And as we're about ready to go to the meetings, the heavens open. And I thought, you've got a choice here. One of us will have to stay behind. No. God's in control. Psalm 91. The principle to Psalm 91, he or she who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I said, Lord, I cannot abide under anything greater than the Almighty. And that psalm says also our property. Let's get our coats on, let's get the car out and go. You wouldn't do that in the natural. Not what we've got going on. Faith, works, which is action, had to correspond. I didn't know anymore. I don't know anymore. In the natural, we come to our end with all of this keep going on. You just put your hands up, don't know anymore, Lord. We just know you're faithful. We abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So you see, if faith is present, works is present also. And this is what we saw with faithful Abraham. Was not Abraham our father justified because works when offered up his son to the on the altar? So works, faith were operative. Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And so by his works, faith was made perfect. And faith was made perfect in order for him to be justified. And to be justified, it meant he was saved and his household. That's what it's about, you see. And that is what God is working with you. And so because of that, the scriptures could be fulfilled. Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. There you are. So the scriptures had to be fulfilled. Turn with me also to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. And so it goes on, then Isaac went on also with that faith walk as well. So Abraham was tested. He had to offer up Isaac. And as a result of that, he was able to receive the promises offered to him and his only begotten son. Up until then, to receive the blessings, to go on to his rightful heir, Isaac, there had to come a testing of faith before that could be transferred to his offspring. And that is why faith is so essential. Faith is essential even in this church. Faith is essential to each one of us because we're in unity and oneness. And when we pass the tests of faith, then we begin to see the works that correspond. And what do the works bring? Healing, deliverance, salvation. It's the same principle in operation. And so you and I are being tested. You and I are being prepared, being brought to a place where you are going to have to offer up. But God's already gone before. He's revealed to you that I will provide in that sacrifice. So we have nothing to lose, as God has shown. And now we're going to turn back to Genesis, and we're going to look at this now in the light of what we have just read. Remember, the key to this is God says, I will provide. If he doesn't provide, we have no faith. We have no faith teaching. We have no works that correspond if God doesn't provide. So here we go. Chapter 22 of Genesis. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. God is going to test your faith, my faith, for one purpose, to see if it's genuine. And so these exposures that come in our life, these disappointments where we thought for 5 years, 10 years I was in faith, confessing, yet when the test came, the corresponding works of faith was not to be seen or found. What manifested? Fear, unbelief. Now, the mercy of God, who loves us, had to do that to you and me. He had to wound us, it seems, in order to get our attention that it isn't faith. Because he has to test it. And so he came testing it, but he provided protection for you and me in not being destroyed in testing that faith. Because it was not faith. There's his provision. There's his mercy. And so, as God has been testing the faith, through this faith teaching that we have been receiving over the years, from Faith Assembly, others in Europe have received it, to Full Gospel Assembly has been teaching it, we have found when God has tested this, that many have become offended and fallen away or gone back into compromise. But God in his mercy provided for you and me and for the remnant, that even though unbelief is there, even though we were deceiving ourselves, yet he has still provided that we should continue and stay with it. Because God is revealing that he is faithful. He will complete that which he hath begun. Remember the teaching we had last week? The faith of Christ, God's faith, which is a gift. So even through these exposures, which of course is to humble us, is to get our knees to bow in his presence, he has shown that he's going to get out of us a genuine faith. It's not going to be guilted. It's not going to be a substitute, which man does. The faith that God's working in you and me will be a genuine faith. It will be the same faith that faithful Abraham walked by, that our Saviour walked by, and the early church walked by as well. That faith is no different. Amen. And he goes on. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. And so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Here we see Abraham's faith confession. Abraham doesn't say a word. He just does it. You notice there's no argument. Why, Lord, when you give me an heir? What are you saying? Have I heard right? Is this a revelation instead from the powers of darkness? I mean, he could have done this. He could have questioned this. The mind could have got in, analyzed it. No. Obedience. God has so worked with this man that he no longer questions God. Now, he was human. There must have been that questioning in his mind. What's God doing? What's going on? But there was something so strengthened within him that he knew God's ways. He knew God loved him. He knew God had made a covenant with him. And God knew what he was up to, even if he didn't know. And you know, that is ultimately what God is doing with your faith and my faith. That really is how faith is going to operate in these last days. It's a faith that isn't going to question, but that knows God doesn't get it wrong. And something within him knew that God wasn't going to get this wrong, even though he was requiring of him the very thing that he loved, his son, his only begotten son. Now think about that. At this stage, under this dispensation, the only begotten son was Isaac. Wasn't Jesus then at this point, Messiah? He is the only begotten son. The same as the only begotten son whom the Father had, whom he gave as an offering to the world. And his name is Jesus. Here is the earthly representation. This is the heir to the promise. This is the young man to take on that promise that God has given to him. A covenant. God has sworn this with Abraham. And when an oath is made, an oath cannot in any way be annulled, changed, altered. And because of that, those offerings, those oaths, were always, it took the shedding of blood. It took an offering where blood was spilt, the offering was split in two, and those making that oath, that covenant, would walk in between that dissected offering. A sign that in no way can it be broken. That's what God made with Abraham. And here is his only begotten son, the heir to the future, the heir to the promise, the heir to justification by faith. I don't think we quite realize what God was requiring of Abraham, because Abraham knew this. I mean, Abraham had received this son, the son of the promise, in his old age. This is a miracle. His wife, in old age, has had a son. It's a miracle. So the whole scenario of this is in itself a miracle. And now he's to offer this up as a burnt offering, as a sacrifice to God. Well, let's go on with this. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship and will come back to you." So Abraham, because this is worship, because this is serious, because faith is in operation, he doesn't want any hindrances. He doesn't want anything that's going to get in the way. He says to the rest of the servants, "You stay there. We're going to go off and we're going to worship." And that's why at times we have to get away from unbelief, interferences, and come to such meetings like this today. Because this meeting today is primarily for those who are in faith, believing, who do not want hindrances. Hindrances to our faith. And we've gone through it in this church. We've gone through where people have come, things have happened, and the devil's tried to use it to hinder the word from being preached. Some that come who are not interested, really. The devil, the powers of darkness work through them. What do? We get in prayer. We get in warfare. Why? Because something within us says, "I've come here today and I don't want unbelief." Do you want unbelief? I don't. Because it hinders me. It hinders me from being blessed from God. Because we know where unbelief comes from. It's not those poor souls that are being used. It's the very devil in them working. That's why. And there's a principle here. So he says to the young men, "You stay here with the donkeys, all the stuff, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship. And we will come back to you." There is a revelation. Somehow God has revealed to him, "I'm going to provide. If I go ahead, and yes, I do slay him, well, God will raise him from the dead." We already read that back in Hebrews, James. But he said, "We will come back." He's just speaking. Because works, faith, works are all in operation. And so Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Isaac knew that there was to be a lamb to be offered. again, speaking in faith. What is he talking about? A lamb. Why a lamb? Why this lamb? Because when you speak faith, and when works are in operation, if a lamb is to be offered, then that lamb will be offered, because the lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. It's always been there. Always been there. But Isaac still didn't really know fully what's going on. They're just obeying God. And he's saying, well, you're doing this. You know, there's a, well, where's the lamb, Father? Where's the lamb? Little realizing that he could well be that lamb being offered. You know, something also tells me here that they are walking so close with God that they are preserved. They're cocooned. There's angels charge over these people. They're walking in a realm of faith. The early church walked in an anointing, in a provision, in a protection that we yet haven't fully experienced. But it's coming for faith to operate. We've already seen they left unbelief back behind, the servants. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. So the two of them went together. I'm only doing what God is showing me to do, but my God is big enough to provide for all of this. And that is the revelation that God wants this church and each one of us to know. That through every situation, whatever you are going through, whatever you feel, whatever your circumstances, whatever it will be, my God is big enough to provide. And I simply believe it. And whatever works are required for that confession will simply happen in Jesus' name. I'm not going to try and think out how I act my faith, and that is where it went wrong. Because we saw in the early days that faith must correspond with works and works with faith and everything. We were looking how to work faith. And it wasn't a revelation. The two were not working together. And that's why sadly some no longer are with us who died thinking they were in faith. We are coming to that place. And in your trial and in your test, whatever you are going through, you are coming to a place where faith and works and faith will work together, because God will provide. Suddenly it drops from the head to the heart. It's there. It's there. And that is why the blood of the Lamb preserves you and I, bringing us to that place of faith. Because what is not of faith is sin. And so there is still sin in our lives, and that sin has to be covered, has to be dealt with in order to bring us to that place of faith. And you see now how God's working this? Isn't it wonderful? This is why you receive the blessings of Abraham. That's why we can sing, Abraham's blessings are mine. We identify with this. It's no different, you see. And so God will provide. And here we see Abraham's complete obedience. Abraham believed God would provide because God had promised to create a nation through his seed. That's why. That's what he could hold on. So Abraham was holding on to the promises of God, just like you and just like me. Let's just remind ourselves of what God had said to Abraham. Let's turn back, Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3. This is what God said, and this is what Abraham was holding on to. Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. In other words, get away from unbelief and sin. And I will show you that I provide. That's why we make much about separation. We must separate ourselves from sin, those hindrances, those things that will stop us from receiving blessing and that will hinder our faith. Can you see this? So Abraham was called from his father's house to a land that I will show you. Here it is, I will make you a great nation, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham heard that. Abraham responded on that. There was nothing else. He didn't have 66 books like we hold in our hands. That was enough for Abraham to say, that is God, that's good enough for me. Come on, let's go. Let's believe it. So he'd already done that. Verse 7, look at this. And after he did this, then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to you, your descendants, I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. So after he moved out in faith, then God himself appeared and again confirmed the covenant. And there we see Abraham builds that first altar to worship God. Wonderful, isn't it? Turn to chapter 13. Chapter 13. 14 to 17 again. Chapter 13, verses 14, 17. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward. Notice God didn't speak to Lot, he speaks to Abraham. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants for a season. Forever. That's why we believe in the promised land, because it's forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that a man could number the dust of the earth. Then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length, its width, for I give it to you. Then Abraham moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. So there we are. He dwelt by terebinth, the trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron. And what does he do again? He builds an altar to the Lord. So God's teaching him now to be a man of worship. And so when you walk by faith and you begin to believe God, God then will begin to show you how you worship him. And this is our problem today. This is why there is so much soulish worship. They think they're worshiping God, but to worship God, God has to show us, has to give us a revelation how to worship him. And that's why we have these problems that we see today. Because you have to walk by faith, obedience. And a result of that then, God says, I will show you how to worship me. And what was the first thing he had to do? Build an altar. And what is the altar for? In which you go upon it and offer yourself up to God. There's the revelation. And you can, in your quiet time, if you want to look at more of these promises, the covenant that God made to Abraham. Read chapter 15. There you'll see it there. Chapter 17, chapter 18 as well. And there your God is ever reminding Abraham all the time of these promises that God has made. So Abraham's faith believes God. He believes God to such an extent that he says God will raise Isaac from the dead if need be, as we just saw earlier on back in Hebrews 11, 19. He believes because God has given his word. And he knows now, as he's going to be tested, that God cannot and will not lie. And God simply is allowing us in this body to go through the trials that we are to show you, I will not lie to you. Now, Satan's become very vocal with some, and he's trying to tell you that God does lie. God isn't faithful. He's trying to throw you into confusion, frustration and anger. But that very trial you're going through, God is trying to get your attention and trying to tell you, I will not lie. I have not lied over your life, over your circumstances. I will provide. The point is, yet we still don't quite believe it, because those works are yet not corresponding. So God is working, working still, working. There's the same principle that comes in operation. Well, it goes on, doesn't it? So they come to the place where he's to offer Isaac. Verse 9, then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. It took two calls of the angel of the Lord to speak to Abraham. Why was one not enough? Can I make a suggestion? That Abraham was so determined to obey his God that it had to be said twice to stop him from doing it. That's what God had done in that man's heart. I think most of us, we would be desperate to hear God speak, and only had to speak it once. Praise God, we're ready. You know? No. He was meaning business before God. And Abraham said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from him. In other words, he had that reverential awe of his God, that you don't mess about with him. That God had moved in on the scene. God was communicating with Abraham. God's presence was right there in the midst of Abraham. He knew that whatever the Holy Spirit was doing there, he was to do it. And that's what God is doing. That's what he's going to do with you. It's what he's doing with this church. When God's presence comes, and it's coming, you know, you don't question, you don't argue, you simply move. That's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. Because there's that reverential awe. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there, behold, was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. God provides. Yes. See, God, Abraham hadn't seen it before because it wasn't revealed. I believe that ram was there, probably been there for quite a while, caught. But it wasn't the time to show him yet. Because God had to do a work, had to test him, test his faith. And when he tested his faith, then God opened his eyes to show God provides. And every provision in your life, my life, has come as a result of God opening our eyes. Didn't see it before, did we? Didn't see it. And what is this provision? Providing through the promises, protection, healing, deliverance, all Abraham's blessings are ours as a result of this man prepared to offer up his begotten son. And so God said, if you're prepared to do that, then I'll make a covenant with you, and I'll now show you, I will offer up my beloved son, my treasure, the apple of my eye. I will present to the world Jesus, who will save the world from its sin. There is the how it works. So God will always establish on the earth first, for it then to be birthed in the spirit. And that's why I say, for anything to be received first, it must be faith to then be birthed in the spirit, to be brought into our realm, into our thinking, into our time, into our senses. Because that's what God's created us for, you see? And so God says, I will provide. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. So that mount, that place, is still today, still spiritually, is called Mount Zion. That spiritual place, because Mount Zion speaks of God's provision. And one day also the nation of Israel's eyes will be open to see God provides. And what did God provide for Israel? Messiah. They will see it. They will see it. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In other words, that's showing that Satan now serves us. He's under our feet. Why? Because that's the blessing of Abraham. And your seed and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. There we are. God provides. You can decide whether you want to be blessed by that provision or not. I know I do. Yes, going to be tested. But God's on the scene. Every trial, every testing, God says, I'm with you. I'm going through it with you. In order for faith and works to work together. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you again for being with us. Thank you that you have provided this meeting. For us, it's your provision that we can sit and be blessed. That we can sit here and find our lives being changed. Our hearts being circumcised. We can sit here, Lord, and receive that healing and that deliverance. A hope, a future. Lord, we are so blessed. And Father, I do believe, Lord, that it is not just for us, but this message must go forth, for there is a remnant out there to be reaped, to be brought in. You are adding to the church such as should be saved. And I thank you for this, Lord. And so I pray again that you'll be with us, you'll bless us, preserve us, and keep us till we assemble again. For this we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
And you shall go.